hello everybody and welcome, and coming up on this month's show, well, there's only one thing we're concentrating on, and that's the playoff finals taking place on Saturday afternoon in the West, the East and the Midlands Division. And because this is a very special show this month, we're joined by a very special guest. It's Mr. James Hayes, Social Media Officer for the Northern Premier League. Hello, James. How are you?
Afternoon, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So just to let everyone know, there is going to be an NPL show out this week, but that's going to be out on Saturday evening. We've already recorded it, Magica Radio and all that. And on there, we'll be concentrating on Monday's playoff final in the Premier Division between Scarborough Athletic and Warrington Town. But here on the Step 4 show, we're going to be talking about those playoff finals on Saturday afternoon in the West, the East and the Midlands Division. And we've got three guests joining us as well to discuss those games. In the East, shortly we'll be hearing from Mark Carruthers. In the West, it's Mr. Andrew Simpson. And in the Midlands, it's a big welcome back. And it's about time we got him back on the show, to Mr. Mark Duffy. So stick around as we'll be previewing those games. But James is here to outline how we got to this point for these playoff finals. And we're going to start off talking about the East Division, James. Mark Carruthers joining us in a second. But wow, what an evening on Tuesday night. Firstly, Stockton Town beating Cleethorpes Town by 2-1. All the goals coming in the first 26 minutes or so in that game. Stockton Town victorious in the end. In the other game, Mash United beat Shildon by 2-1. Well, we said how, you know, all the goals came in the first 25 minutes or so in one player semi-final. In the other one, up at Mask, all the goals pretty much came in the last 25 minutes or so, barring Jason Kennedy's winner in extra time for Mash United. Sets up Mash United against Stockton Town, James. What's your thoughts on how all this played out on Tuesday?
First one there was Shielding. What a great attempt for them to come back into the game and potentially win it. Obviously, we know how well Mask have played this season. With Cleethorpes from Stockton, it was a very, very tough ask for both sides there. Stockton have played well. Cleethorpes, again, been a little bit sat back in third place for a couple of weeks, but Stockton coming into it, two great strikes there, and Cleethorpes will be hard done by because it's the second playoff in a row that they've been beaten in.
Commiserations to both Shildon and Cleethorpes, but it is Mash United against Stockton Town on Saturday in the playoff final in the East Division. And to help us preview this game now, on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with football writer from the northeast of England. It's a big welcome back to the show, to the legendary Mr. Mark Carruthers. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us on the Step 4 show this week as we look ahead to the playoff finals across the NPL on Saturday afternoon. Quite a remarkable Tuesday night, wasn't it? Cleethorpes Town losing to Stockton Town by 2-1. Mash United winning by the same scoreline against Shildon, setting up this mother of all playoff finals on Saturday between Mask and Stockton. What's your take on it?
Well, I think looking at Stockton first and foremost, it's the continuation of what's been a remarkable journey up the pyramid. It's not really that long ago since they were in the Wayside League, which is obviously step seven. And they've made this journey through the Northern League with what has largely been the core of the same squad. So I look at people like Adam Nicholson and Tom Coulthard, who've been there throughout all of this and just developed with every passing year. So they're a real threat in this game. And I think it's, you know, you look at what Mask have done through the regular season and you look at the fact that maybe a few things have gone the way. They would have been champions rather than Liversedge. And sometimes as an England, I think, well, because they've had such a good season, they will go through the playoffs. But I think we've both been doing this long enough to know that teams that finish second aren't always a shoo-in to win the playoffs because of the disappointment, psychological impact of not winning the league and missing out in the league. So
doesn't that make Tuesday night even the more remarkable, really? Because it was 25 points the gap between Mask and Shildon, and you kind of knew that it would be tricky, and you wouldn't have put it past Shildon, as other playoffs have shown over the years, to defeat Mask. But they held the nerve in the end.
I think the thing with that is the fact that you look at that Mask squad and it's got a lot of experience in there. It's got a lot of experience of players that have played in the top, you know, 2-3 levels of the non-league game. So I think that core of experienced players has probably pulled them through what was a very tricky game against the Shildon side that I think have performed above expectations this season. I didn't see them as playoff challengers when the season got underway. So it was a really interesting game, that one. But, you know, Mask, you look at that squad, it's full of players that have played in the National League North and some in the Football League as well. So they've done well to get through, though, in the circumstances.
Yeah, we should say commiserations to Shildon. But since that playoff semi-final, Daniel Moore has moved to Hebburn Town. What do you make of that move and that news?
I think that was I know, obviously, Shildon put the statement out on Tuesday. That was... it was kind of agreed mutually that the time was right to move on. Dan's done a wonderful job there. You know, he's won the Durham Challenge Cup there. He won the Cleader Cup, which is kind of the Northern League version of the Community Shield. He's got them promoted into the Northern Premier League for the first time in the history. And then, obviously, as you say, he's got them into the playoffs. So he's done a great job there. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. But I do think sometimes with managers, there is just a natural point where they have to move on to test themselves somewhere new. We shouldn't forget it was only Dan's first managerial job. Hadn't been a manager before he stepped up at Shildon. So it'll be a good test for him from Hebburn's point of view. It's a manager that's got experience at the level now. And as a player, he's had vast experience as a player as well. He's obviously taken the majority of his coaching staff with him. So it's an interesting appointment. I'm intrigued to see how it works out. But he'll be given the resources, be given everything, the support that he needs to succeed at Hebburn.
Well, like I said, commiserations to Shildon. Also, commiserations to Cleethorpes Town. Where they've come from and you know what they've achieved over recent years is phenomenal. And you just feel it wouldn't be beyond them now to be in the Premier Division, but someone had to get beat in that playoff semi-final. And congratulations to Stockton Town on doing that.
Oh, massively. And I think, you know, Stockton have obviously taken a little bit of momentum into the playoffs with them. They've had a good run. And I mean, Cleethorpes have come so far in such a short space of time as a football club. And to be where they are now, I think, is an achievement in itself. And I don't mean that to sound as if I'm belittling them in any way, but I just think they've developed so well. That next step is one of the biggest. I think we both know that to get into that Premier Division and to establish yourself in that Premier Division is a massive task. And they'll be there or thereabouts next season. I'm fairly confident of that.
So it sets up Mass United against Stockton. And when we talk about that Teesside derby, it's going to be a huge crowd, so much riding on it. I mean, what's your thoughts on this occasion on Saturday?
Well, it's arguably one, in terms of non-league, definitely. It's probably the biggest game that non-league football on Teesside's had for a number of years now. Probably, apart from when the two teams met in the semi-finals of the FAFRs not so long ago. So it's a huge occasion. I know this is kind of sitting on the fence, but I think it's really difficult to call who'll win it because there hasn't been a lot between the two sides this season in terms of league position. The two games they've played have been quite tight and certainly have been eventful. So I think it's a difficult one to call if you were going to push me for a prediction. That's me trying to tell you not to push me for a prediction, by the way. But I honestly think it's a terrible thing to say, but I think it could go either way. I really don't think you can call this one.
We know what Liversidge are capable of. You know, they've played teams in Step 3 already this year and beat them. Scarborough, famously, of course. So what's your take on what Mask and Stockton? Do you reckon they're capable of making that step up to Step 3 next season and flourishing?
I do. I think... Mask obviously have got, as I said earlier, that experience in the squad, and they've got a very sort of defined style of player that they bring to the party. And I think they've also got a solid base. I mean, they've conceded less than a goal a game this season. They've only lost four games in 36. So they've got that solid base that will help them in the Premier Division. It won't be without its challenges. I think that's quite simple to say. So I think they would do all right the next level, certainly would survive, and I wouldn't have any concerns about coming straight back down. And it's kind of similar with Stockton, because I look at Stockton and I think, you know what, they've got your Shane Henrys and Tom Portis and people like that have played higher, Jonathan Franks. They've got a lot of good youngsters that will relish testing themselves at a high level. But it would be a wonderful story for either club to go up, because they've both come so far since, you know, promotion from the Northern League. So it's just going to be a great occasion. It's going to be a game that I think will do Teesside proud.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. Just before we go, obviously, this game's going to be... I think the Whitby Town Radio lads are going to be covering this one. So Paul Connolly will be there with commentary for those of you who can't make the game in person. I said to Paul last week that Masker, I think the only club, now Rushall have left, that provides sandwiches to press. So hopefully he's going to be enjoying himself both with the catering and the football on Saturday. But Matt, just before you go, plenty of stuff going on across non-league football and football in general across the northeast of England at this busy period of the season. So how could people follow you on Twitter, and what have you got coming up this weekend?
Yeah, so this weekend I'm at in National League North game at Gateshead. Gateshead plays Southport, of course. Gateshead closing in on what will hopefully be, from a Northeast point of view anyway, the league title, and a return to the National League. And then Monday, I'm at two games on Monday, actually, the Northern League Cup final in the morning, and then up at Leigh Spartans against Kers National in the afternoon. So it's a busy weekend, rounding off what's been a busy season. But yeah, you can keep up to date on my Twitter at @MarkCruthers_. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Matt Carruthers, big, big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. Really, really appreciate it. And have a lovely weekend.
You too.
Matt Carruthers, their football writer from the northeast of England, joining us there to help us preview Manchester United against Stockton Town in the playoff final of the MPL East Division. Let's go to the Midlands Division now, James, and discuss what happened on Tuesday night. A very, very close game down in the Midlands on Tuesday night between Hales Owen Town and Chase Town. Incredibly close. 2,573 was the attendance. We did say it was going to be a big game, didn't we, at the Grove? And it clearly was. But Chase Town won with a 90-minute penalty. It's just one of them things, isn't it? A remarkable ending to the game. And Chase Town go through to the final.
Halesowen Town's been a tough place to go to. Anyone who's ever been to a Halesowen Stourbridge match will know that straight away. Chase Town as well, the fact they lost second place on the last day of the season can sometimes be detrimental, but getting an opportunity like that, last minute of the game, get a penalty, they did well to win that match. Now hosting the final of all things as well, so well done to Chase Town on that one.
Yeah, it's, we'll be discussing this shortly, but there's two playoff finals this weekend where fourth are hosting fifth. So it goes to show you all this chatter from pundits about home advantage and all that just goes out the window, doesn't it, really? And like I said, the crowd, the attendance, I mean, I think it's pretty clear to say Hales Owen are, you know, there's a springboard there, isn't there, for next season? But commiserations to them. But Chase Town through to the final. They'll be hosting Belper Town on Saturday. Belper Town beating Stamford by 2-1. Stamford down to 10 men in that game in the first half. But again, it's so dramatic, isn't it, what actually happened. Two goals come in added time, one for Stamford, one for Belper. But Belper go through to the final.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you look at, when we were saying about form and obviously home advantage, we were saying a second ago, you look at how Belper got into it. Obviously, they needed a result on the Saturday and they played just so that's fifth place. Obviously, everyone put them down as the underdogs to the playoff, realistically. They might win the final, but so when Belper were in the Premier League, they got promoted through that.
It's basically a one-off game, and Belper's beat Matlock this year in a one-off game. So anything's possible. At Causeway Lane, they beat Matlock by 3-0. Good defence, Matlock. So, you know, Belper, they probably are the underdogs in this one, but, well, this is going to be a close game. But let's discuss this playoff final now on Saturday in a bit more detail now. And I'm pleased to say, joining us to discuss this game, we're joined by Midlands non-league reporter. It's a big welcome back to the show to Mr. Mark Duffy. Well, Mark, a big welcome back to the show. I will obviously talk to you about Ilkeston shortly and what a fantastic season they've had. But on Saturday, all eyes are on the playoff final in the Midlands division. Fourth hosting fifth. Quite a remarkable Tuesday night in those playoff semi-finals. Firstly, your thoughts on how we've got to this point where Chase Town have beaten Hales Owen in front of an unbelievable crowd at the Grove of, you know, over 2,500 there, and Belper have beaten informed Stamford. I mean, it's quite amazing what's happened there on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think actually if you'd asked most people before the semi-finals what the final would be, it'd probably be the opposite to what it is, just based on form. And that's with no disrespect to Chase Town and Belper, who both had really good seasons. I just think, particularly with them both being away, big crowds and so on, Stamford's form, how was Owen a decent at home? I just think everybody would have assumed that was how it would go. But that's the beauty, if you like. If you could, probably not for Howe's Owen or Stamford, the beauty of the playoffs. I mean, that you can be unpredictable. And fair play to both of them for pulling out results, because they were really good performances. And I know Belper played against 10 men for half the game against Stamford, but that's not detracting from their display at all. They've done well to get a result there, because Stamford were absolutely flying, weren't they? And Chase Town, similarly, to go to Hell Zone in front of a massive crowd like that, win it with a late penalty, fair play to them. So it's going to be a cracking final, I'm sure.
Obviously, you cover Ilkeston a lot of the time, so you'll be more than aware of what Chasetown, Hills, Owen and Stamford are capable of, because only up until about, a week ago, it was any one of those four could have still won the league. So, I mean, what's the calibre of these teams like based on, what you've seen, plus as well, what's happened on Tuesday? Because like you touched upon, for Chasetown and Belper to get through to this final, that's some statement that's been made there by those two clubs.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody seemed to beat each other in that top four. I think Chasetown won. Well, Chasetown actually beat Ilkeston twice this season. And so, the calibre and Hell's Own as well, they drew at Ilkeston, and Ilkeston won there in the league, but lost there in the FA Cup. So it was really hard to pick. And for a while, it looked like nobody really wanted to win that league, because, whenever somebody lost, the other team lost as well, nobody could quite pull away. And it was driving Martin Carruthers at Ilkeston mad that they couldn't keep capitalising on the other teams dropping points and the other way around. So obviously really good sides there, but in the end, when push came to shove, nobody was just able to quite pull away right to the very end. And even then, Ilkeston only won it by a few points. So it went to the last day anyway. So it was clearly the best sides in the division. I think there's no doubt about that. The table doesn't lie in that sense. But in terms of who I wanted to pick of those four that get into the playoffs beforehand, it really was hard, because as much as I said before about the final was most likely on paper perhaps to be Hell's Own and Stamford, they've all really shown this season they can all beat anybody. Here we are now. So, look, I mean, it really is too close to call. It's been too close to call for over 3 months now in terms of who'd win the league. Ilkeston managed to hold on there in the end, and goal difference, sometimes it was, and sometimes it was just by the odd point. But they're out of it now. It's now down to who can go up with them. And in Hell's Own and Stamford's absence, it comes down to these two who, I can see it going all the way to penalties. I know it's an easy out in this, but I can see it going all the way to penalties, this one, to be honest.
And for Belper Town, obviously they're I think they're the underdogs. I think we could say that, given the gap between Belper Town and Chasetown is 9 points when we look at the final table. Yeah. But how thankful is Grant Black going to be for what Carlton Town did this year and push Belper all the way? Because often you can just kind of, stumble into the playoffs. But Belper have had to work for it, haven't they? And they've, that momentum, I think, has been quite useful.
It's exactly that. They have had to work for it. They've not come into it in second gear. They've had to go full pelt to make sure they got in. And then on top of that, they've then beaten Stamford. So they're going to be on a massive high. Chasetown will be as well, of course. But I think Belper, for a while, they've been in and around that playoff zone pretty much all season. And I think people have been expecting them to fall away at times. I know that the managers sort of said everybody wrote them off against before they played Stamford. And they went and won that there. So they are very much in with a shout. Chasetown's home record's been excellent. I think they've only lost at home to Hell's Own and Stamford, funnily enough, this season. They beat Ilkeston there as well. So that's probably going to be in their favour. They've got a big partisan crowd there as well, I'm sure. But again, Belper went to Stamford and won. So they won't fear anybody. They gave Ilkeston a good game at the new Manor Ground on New Year's Day, I think it was. So I don't think being away from home will faze Belper at all. But Belper just have stuck in there, and they've had a few injury problems as well. But to be fair to Grant, he's done a fantastic job there with what he's got, and they fully deserve to be where they are.
I was going to say, though, that the big victory this year for Belper was away from home at Matlock, and they beat him 3-0. And we all know about Matlock's defensive record. So,
and I mean, that was their FA Cup tie, but it showed that they were what they're capable of doing. And I know Johnny Margetts scored a hat-trick that day. He then obviously left eventually, and they managed to keep cope even without him. And he was top scorer. I think he was top scorer in the league at one point as well. And to overcome that was brilliant, for them to keep their momentum going. And that win at Matlock was a massive confidence boost for them, because it showed they could beat anybody. Even I think Matlock may well have been top of the Premier at the time. And momentum did carry on from there. And they've had a few blips, of course, they have every now and again. But the momentum's definitely with them again now.
Well, Mark, just before we go, we've just, I spoke to the other Mark Carruthers, before about the East Division, and, we're getting Liversidge up. We're probably going to, well, we are going to see either Manchester United and Stockton, and I feel whoever, joins Liversidge, they're going to have a big impact on the NPL Premier Division next year. What's your thoughts on what's coming out with regards to Ilkeston, obviously, but also we've seen Chasetown and Belper at Step 3 before, so, you know, no strangers to this level. So whoever comes up, minus geographical realignment and all that palaver, you're optimistic for what can be possible next year with regards to Ilkeston and whoever comes up from Chasetown and Belper?
I think so, yeah. There is a bit of a question mark over whether Ilkeston will get put in the Northern Prem or into the Southern, which is possible, Southern Central, just because of geographics and so on. But no, if they all go into the Northern Prem, I think Ilkeston are very intent on making sure they stay there and probably progress fairly soon. They're putting a lot into the club, obviously. They're not there just to make up the numbers. They're going to want to be challenging top end quite quickly. And Chasetown and Belper, I don't see why they can't hold their own as well next season. So it's, I think quite commonly now when teams go up, the momentum's with them. They're used to winning games. It's not all that common now that, I mean, we don't know for the last 3 years because it's the first time we've completed a season and the first time the divisions have changed for a little while. So who knows? But you know, the momentum's with these teams when they go up, and you'd hope that. I don't think the gap between the top half of the Premier and the Division One is probably much bigger, but in terms of the bottom half, perhaps of the Premier, not so much. I just think teams can quite easily hold their own and consolidate as a minimum when they go up. And I don't see that being any different with Ilkeston, Chasetown, or Belper, to be honest.
Well, Matt Duffy, at Duffers Sports on Twitter, big welcome back. Ilkeston get promoted. It's about time we got you back on the NPL show. So thank you so much. Just before you go, just a quick plug as well for DerbyshireFootball.com and anything else that's going on with regards to non-league football in that Derbyshire Midlands area.
Yeah, well, I mean, DerbyshireFootball.com it's on a bit of a sabbatical at the moment because I've struggled with work and the new baby and so on to keep it updated. I'm planning to hopefully go back into it in the summer and give it a good kick. But I did that just to cover football across the county, really. So that's where some of it's go, but I also write for Derbyshire Times, Mansfield Chad, papers like that. So I'm pretty prevalent on Twitter most of the time as well, so never far away.
Excellent stuff. Well, Matt, big thank you for joining us. Like I said, at Duffers Sports on Twitter. Give Mark a follow. And hopefully, geographical alignments won't get in the way. And we'll be here for you next season, covering an NPL Premier Division side. Thank you, Mark.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Editor of DerbyshireFootball.com, Matt Duffy there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. So, big commiserations to Hales Owen and Stamford. Stamford and Hales Owen have had cracking seasons, haven't they? Definitely springboards for next year. But Chasetown taking on Belper Town on Saturday in the playoff final in the Midlands Division. Let's go finally to the West Division now and the playoff final there. And again, it sees fourth hosting fifth after Tuesday night's games. Leek Town 1, Runcorn Linnets 4. Runcorn Linnets just straight out the blocks. 3-0 up at half-time. Quite a remarkable performance from the Cheshire side, winning 4-1 in the end. In the other game, Neil Kenge scoring a hat-trick in that game for Marine. Workington 1-0 up. Marine getting an equaliser. All square at half-time. Then on the hour mark, it's 2-1 to Workington. And Workington have got 1 foot in the door for the playoff final. Then Neil Kenge scores an equaliser. And then in extra time, he scores again, and Marine win 3-2. Dramatic at both games, James.
Yeah, I mean, I'll mention the Leek Runcorn game first because obviously I was actually at the Workington game myself on the night. Leek Town was like the fifth playoff defeat. It's pretty much the fact now they're going to have to win the league to get promoted under their eyes. But going to the Workington Marine game, how they came back into that match is just absolutely remarkable. Kenji did change the match. They've got a nice little game across the other side of the Mersey for a massive game for promotion between the two sides. It's going to be no easy task for them sides there, really.
No, absolutely not. Well, commiserations to Workington and to Leek Town. Two cracking seasons. But the final will be between Runcorn Linnets and Marine. And to discuss this game in a bit more detail now, let's welcome back a dear old friend to the show. It's Mr. Andrew Simpson. Well, Simo, a big thank you for joining us. And here we are. We're recording this bit of the show on Thursday lunchtime. Runcorn Linnets taking on Marine, as we discussed earlier in the show. The second playoff where fourth is hosting fifth. I don't know what we can deem from that, but here we are. Firstly, let's talk about the hosts for Saturday's playoff final. Runcorn Linnets, pretty impressive display, I've got to say, at Leek Town on Tuesday night. What
wow. Do you feel? Yeah, they also debunked Berkey's theory. So listeners who joined us for the previous edition of this podcast will have heard Berkey say that nobody beats another team three times in a season. Well, Runcorn Linnets achieved exactly that on Tuesday night when they beat Leek for the third time this season, and without question, in the most impressive way. I mean, you kind of run out of superlatives to kind of describe a result and a performance like that. Leek had only lost one game at Harrison Park this season. Their other home defeat was when they were briefly playing at Buxton, waiting for the pitch to be late. So only one team had beaten them there this season. That shows the magnitude of the task for Linnets going into that. So to come away with a 4-1 win is hugely, hugely impressive. And can you imagine the high that takes them into the weekend on? You know, 90 minutes away from reaching the Northern Premier League Premier Division for the first time in the club's history. So a lot riding on it for them the weekend, but absolutely going into on the crest of a wave.
And at the same time, the same can be said of Marine, but in slightly different circumstances. Obviously, Runcorn Linnets straight out the blocks, weren't they? Scoring very early on in that game. It did have the air of a bit of a bish-bash-bosh from Runcorn Linnets. Marine, it's a different kind of spring that they'll have on Saturday following that trip up to Cumbria. Very late in the day to take it to extra time and then winning in extra time. So, what's your thoughts on that one from Tuesday night up in Cumbria?
Well, it kind of defies a little bit of what had come before, because Marine kind of stumbled, spluttered, and stuttered into the playoffs, and you did wonder what you were going to get from them with on paper a very difficult away game at Workington. We weren't quite sure how Workington were going to respond to the kind of setback and disappointment of missing out on the title at the weekend. So it's two kind of bruised teams going into that. But Marine, obviously, on the night itself, came from behind twice. As you said, famously got the second equaliser in the 97th minute, then went on to win in extra time. And you do wonder kind of the transformative impact on their morale that winning in that way might have had. I had a little look this morning just to remind myself. They'd only won one of their previous seven matches before they got off the coach in Cumbria on Tuesdays. That's what I kind of mean by them kind of stumbling into the playoffs. That said, and this might be relevant again at the weekend, their away form generally has been much better than their home form, because they'd only also lost one of their previous 10 away games before they got off the bus in midweek. So away from home, they have been a bit better. But I do think the significance of that win is kind of restoring a little bit of faith, a little bit of belief that they can go there, dig out a result like that against a strong, formidable opponent, even if that opponent also was psychologically kind of hurting themselves as to what had happened previously. So the two teams do come in, albeit they've taken different routes to get there, on that high of how they've managed to get over the line in midweek. My question mark for Marine, and Neil Young did touch on this in his post-match interview on Tuesday, is just how much will it have taken out of them to have gone the distance, to have done the travel. I imagine they'll be having a pretty light training session on Thursday night, ready for the weekend. And that's something to look out for on Saturday, kind of whether that weighs on the players. But yeah, they'll just be, I imagine, relieved more than anything to still be alive, because it's been a rocky last couple of months of the season.
When we talk about that game on Tuesday night, we should mention Neil Kenge's performance in that game. A hat-trick in a playoff semi-final is, well, it's almost borderline getting yourself a statue built at some point in the future, isn't it? But those one-off cup games, we shouldn't be too surprised. I know previous seasons we could talk about Tottenham Hotspur, but this season's not been bad. You know, they beat South Shields, didn't they, on a penalty shootout in the trophy, and you know, they took Wrexham to a replay in the FA Cup. So,
we really good point.
Surprised, really.
Yeah, they should back themselves. I'm sure they will. I mean, again, what's going to be a very interesting dynamic this weekend is the kind of burden of expectation. Marine very much set out their stall at the start of the season, both with what they were saying and also with the team that they assembled, that promotion was the aim. No compromise on that. There's no kind of run-up to this. We need to get promoted this season. And at the moment, they're still in a position to deliver that, even though quite literally, but also metaphorically, they're kind of taking the long way around, because they'll now need to win two away games to get there. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't the plan when they set out at the start of the season. But yes, they can still achieve what was that number one objective of promotion. But when I'm talking about expectation, it'll be really interesting to see now how Runcorn handle that, in that you know, just the kind of euphoria to have made it this far. It's their best ever finish in the club's history since it reformed and we entered the National League system in 06-07. So already a huge amount to celebrate. And I think kind of a lot of the mood around the club is we've done brilliant to get this far and it'll now be almost a bonus if we get up. But I know what dressing rooms are like. I know what managers are like. And listening to Callum McIntyre's interview after full-time on Tuesday was really interesting. The kind of laser focus on, hang on, we've got this far, we're serious, we want to be in the Premier Division next season. It's not a case of, oh, haven't we done great and let's see how it goes on Saturday. So now, when something is this close, you can almost touch it. That impacts on teams and dynamics as well. So Runcorn do have the momentum, I think, because their form generally is very, very good. But it'll be interesting to see how they kind of handle the pressure of the occasion. And although the pressure is slightly different in terms of kind of what Marina are handling, but I think that contributes to just how fascinating this particular final is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to touch upon cup forms, because I mentioned Marines, but Runcorn's actually had a decent start.
Yeah.
They beat Liversidge, which not many teams have done this year. I don't know if anyone's aware of that.
And very good point.
They also beat Bamber Bridge and came close to defeating Gateshead in the FA Cup. So, oh, it's going to be a great game, this.
It is, and like we made a big play. this always happens. We made a big play, didn't we, on the previous show? Oh, home advantage is going to count in a lot of these games. And then, like you said, let's set this up. Oh, look, it's 4-3-5. So home advantage did nothing for poor old Workington and Leake in this division. And obviously, South Shields lost in the Premier Division. So, you know, I was thinking, oh, does home advantage matter here? I don't know. I don't think so. Marine will, because it's not very far for their supporters to travel, will have a very sizeable contingent in the crowd. It's not like when they were going up to Workington and it's obviously, you know, a big ask for people to get time off working to get there on time in midweek. So their kind of support's going to be significantly higher than it was on Saturday. So I'm not sure the home advantage card is as big here as maybe we made out at the weekend, but maybe I'm on the run because we bit back the home teams to get through. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's just the nature of the season, really, isn't it, for us? just while I've got you here, Simo, because it'd be remiss of me not to just raise it with you, because obviously we had some big news from Witton Albion with Cal McCauley departing. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Because what we're discussing here with this playoff semi-final is it shows you just how competitive Cheshire non-league football is at the moment. So what's your take from this week's events at Winsham Park?
Yeah, I mean, the realignment in Cheshire is interesting, isn't it? Because Warrington Rylands have won the West Division and they're based down the road in Warrington, and if Runcorn Linnets get the result that they crave at the weekend, they'll be then taking their place in the Premier Division while Witton Albion being dropped to the West Division and look to realign. There's lots of unknowns at the moment. I think it's important to say kind of, you know, what a brilliant job that Carl McCauley did. I think when someone's at a club for as long as he's been, which is about six and a half years, sometimes it's easy to forget the circumstances that he inherited when he first came to Northwich in October 2015, which does feel multiple lifetimes ago. But Witton were in serious, serious disarray at that point. And he was able, firstly, to steady the ship and then slowly assemble a team that was capable then of getting promotion in the 16-17 season, delivered back-to-back top 10 finishes in the first two seasons back. Then we had the pandemic, although in the second pandemic season, Witton were fifth in the table after winning five of the first seven games. And it's only really this season that the kind of things have gone awry in terms of results and things that have gone against them. But I think it's important to stack up that body of work and say, this is what happened over the 6.5 years and kind of what he did achieve in that time. Really difficult act to follow. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of what direction the board going. And the other thing I've been trying to reinforce in lots of conversations this week is that step four, and this neatly fits in with the preview that we've just done, is a lot more difficult, a lot more of a challenge than when Witton dropped down last time in 2014-2015. That's not to disrespect step four at that point, but the division they're likely to be allocated to, the West Division, is pretty formidable. And with another Cheshire team to keep that team going, if Macclesfield joining it next season, I think it's a really tough ask for them to bounce back straight away. Of course, you never say never, and I still think they'll be competitive. But yeah, it feels end of era-ish. I think there'll be an enormous amount of change. I think most of the playing squad will will depart. So the kind of successor to Carl is going to have, if not a blank piece of paper, pretty much almost a blank piece of paper. But that can be a good thing as well. It's not necessarily a completely bad thing. They can shape it completely how they want to go. So it'd be really interesting. It's a big, without being a, it's all talk sport about it, but it is a quite a big few weeks in the club's history at the moment. They've got some big decisions to make, and kind of the outcome of those decisions will shape the next 2 to 3 years. Absolutely, their ambition will be to get back to the Premier Division. I just sense it might take a little longer than it did last time, but I've been wrong before, and hopefully I'll be wrong again. But yeah, I think overall at the moment, it's still a sadness that a tenure like that comes to an end. It's always the case in football when someone's been somewhere a long time.
Well, sending our best to Carl, who's a bit of a legend on the show, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
So, sending our best. But, Simo, just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. As we've just touched upon there, plenty of things going on in the world of Cheshire non-league football. How can people creep across it all?
Yeah, at @Simo_on_sport on Twitter. I'll be doing a piece for non-league paper this week about the changing times at Witten, so still very much kind of covering that. But yes, lots of other non-league musings and ramblings going on there as well.
Great stuff. Simo, just I'm not going to get you to make a prediction, but how good is this going to be this weekend, do you feel, between these two sides, Marine and Runcorn, it's finally?
I think it's genuinely too close to call, which is a cop-out. I think Runcorn have slightly more momentum. I think the slightest of slight favourites, but for all the reasons that we listed about Marine in the preview, it would be utter folly to write them off.
Andrew Simpson there, non-league report from Cheshire, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL Step 4 show. Well, that's it for this special edition of the Step 4 show this month. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me, and a big thank you to James Hayes. And James, just before you go, just a quick plug for the social media channels this week, and there's going to be commentary, I think, from every game that we've covered as well. So how could people keep across it all on Saturday?
Yes, all three games are being covered, either by in-house sides or, in the case of Mast, Whitby Town Boys are going to go across and commentate. All the links will be on the social media, but it's Twitter, Northern Premier League, where we'll also have live updates from the Histon Concert Step 4-5 match. And on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, it's Official Northern Premier.
Great stuff. Just a reminder, the NPL show will be out on Saturday evening this weekend, as we'll be previewing the Scarborough-Warrington playoff final in the Premier Division. But a big good luck to Mash United, Stockton Town, to Runcorn Linnets, Marine, Belper Town and to Chase Town this weekend. But we're going to go now. Have a lovely weekend wherever you're enjoying your football, and we'll be catching up very, very soon. Bye-bye.